Before we get started, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has stepped in through our Patreon site to support what Skirmish Play does, to kind of help our mission out, to help us do some unique things. That's made it possible for us to upgrade some of our equipment this year. We're really excited to take it out there. We did that over the summer, to take it out there, make some things happen this fall, some kind of unique things. And you guys with Patreon have really made that possible. We hope more folks will jump on board with us. Come on and support us. You can check it out at patreon.com/skirmishplay. Definitely want to, you know, to have anybody who is, you know, excited about what we're doing over here, excited about our mission, to jump in and come out and support us. So that's definitely a critical part of what we do. So thanks a lot, and enjoy the podcast. This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Skirmish Play podcast, and we're pretty excited that now we're in it. We're in done with the first week of football season. Now we got some games, we got some numbers, we got some things to work with, and we've got some pretty tremendous first impressions. So we're just going to dive right into it, and let's start with the big trend of last week, which was a bunch of teams that were sub 500 last year got wins. Fluvanna County, Nelson County,
Covenant, yep.
Monticello. Tremendous week for that group of teams.
I mean, the Monticello game, that was sort of early on, so you knew that. But when you saw some of the closer games, keeping track of those, we see those go final. Fluvanna holding on to make sure they win that one. The Covenant game was never really in doubt. Just every one of those teams, Nelson, you know they wanted that one so bad. It was such a tough year for them, and so much development that went into last year. You want to see them get that pay dirt. It means a lot getting those done in week one. And particularly for some coaches, I mean, for Matt Hicks and Seth Wilson, those are their first wins with their programs. And getting that sort of monkey off the back early, where you just stop sweating, like, you don't worry about it.
You don't want to be sitting there thinking, like, am I ever going to win a game? And, like, Hicks had to live that all year last year. But he knew that it was a long road that he was putting together. But already some really big, you know, results for them.
Yeah, and for Fluvanna, they haven't won since Mark Grooms went down. The Spotsylvania win last year was the big one for them. So these mean a lot, and I think it allows your team to really focus on, all right, let's get to X's and O's and stop worrying about, you know, the final score so much, and just about executing each play. The usual coach speak that goes into these things, just getting each play done as well as you can and trying to put together the best effort you can.
Pretty cool to see Fluvanna win in particular. It's very difficult, it seems like, for them to get any traction going. And, you know, we talked about Joey Van Dyke in our preview about how he's a pretty, you know, he's one of those guys that if you can get the ball to him, he's a pretty darn good receiver. He's a pretty darn good playmaker. Two touchdowns for that guy. A big one that, you know, ended up being the game winner for him. And the defense to hold a team to 12 points, no matter who that squad is, holding somebody to 12 is rock solid.
Yeah, and I think we forget about it sometimes, the mindset of your average teenager. And this isn't just true for Fluvanna. It's any school, period, that's going through a rough spell, that it's real easy to pack up and go when you're sitting there at 0-6-7 and we'll just get the season over with. But when you feel like...
Let's move on to basketball. You're out at Fluvanna.
you've got a fighting chance. If you feel that way, you know, each week in practice, that just totally changes the mindset. And, you know, people just want to be out there and be competitive. And so when you see success early on for a team, you know, it makes a huge difference. I mean, you look at the other end of the spectrum, Charlottesville, you could say, oh, they're hanging their heads low at 0-1. But that team's won a bunch of games already. They know losing in overtime on the road is not that
EC Glass team.
It's not that big of a deal. They'll be able to pick up the pieces, put it together again. If that had happened to Fluvanna or Nelson, you're just like, it's more heartbreaking for them. So I think the state of the team, the program, matters a lot in these first couple weeks, because it allows you to set a tone. Orange County, when they made their big push 2 years ago, it was those early three games. You know, they come out and they beat a Spotsylvania. Okay, that's nice. But when they beat Powhatan, all of a sudden you're like, okay, now we've got something. Yeah. Now we're on to something. So that's, I think that's where Nelson, Covenant, all these guys sort of wind up. You know, week two, all right, let's get this ball rolling and see where it takes us.
Nelson, too, scored on three of their first five drives. You and I were talking about it before we started recording. I don't know if I've ever seen a team, a Nelson team, do that in the 10 years that, you know, we've, you know, been doing this. I mean, it's, that's a pretty incredible, that's an incredible start for a Nelson offense. Bryce Wilton and Devontae Rose really kind of got that going. And that's just, I mean, that's a really fun start for them. I mean, that had to give them just an incredible amount of confidence. And then they held on David Sheridan with the big interception down the stretch. I mean, Bryce Wilson's a young guy at quarterback. You know, he seems to be a really good fit for that system. And they've kind of got a little something going.
Yeah, and the team that we mentioned up front that, you know, sort of is getting lost is Monticello. Last year, I think, was an anomaly for them. I think that's a team that was in a lot more games. Talk to Coach Lloyd, and you know, there's a couple games where they've got 500 yards of offense and they lose by two scores.
Struggled defensively, definitely.
So that's a team that I think could be putting together a really impressive season that they just have to play up to their potential. It's there. I mean, nobody on the staff or on the team will deny that, like, this team isn't, you know, we just don't have enough guys in terms of talent. They've got it. It's just a matter of getting out there and getting it done.
A lot of speed. Kevin Gerald just continues to impress. That guy's been putting together. He's put together a darn good career.
Very,
over the last
very
few years.
Quietly, statistically, put together an exceptional high school career.
Yeah, you got to be thrilled with what they're doing. And Haverstrom got loose a couple of times. He had the kick return. We know what kind of playmaker that guy is. Delaware knows what kind of playmaker they're getting in that guy. So they've got the pieces. You're right. They've got the pieces, and now they've got to kind of figure it out. Another team that's got a few pieces, Covenant. Yep. Jonas Sanker, man.
Big guy. I mean, he played as an eighth grader, so not technically a debut, but sort of a breakout performance for him.
Absolutely.
I mean, the weird thing about this Covenant game is that they had four touchdowns called back because of penalties. So Sanker could have had more. But huge day. Donovan Jackson sort of got lost in this one because Sanker scored on all the big plays, you know, three different rushing touchdowns. And they were using him sort of off on the edge. And Jackson kept going up the middle and piling up 8 yard gains and 10 yard gains.
That's that offense, man. That's what that Veer will do to you.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's nice to see this sort of ebb and flow of an inside runner with an outside runner. His older brother Nick had a nice one as well. And then John Hume had a very good game running as well. That's a team that's going to be able to. They have enough linemen for a Division III school. They have enough linemen up front to move this ball well and do it in a diverse way, where you're not always just sort of stacking up the box in the middle. And that's what Coach Wilson talked about afterwards. He said, "I've got these athletes. I need to redesign my system to make it fit for them." And so they're going to do a little more things in space, whether it's receiver screen passes and those kind of things, a lot of jet sweeps or whatever. Good, you know, that allows these kids to really show what they have. Sanker, I mean, he was absolutely gassed by the end of this one because I'm telling you, he had a couple 80 yarders called back. Like, I can't believe I ran all the way down here and I got to run all the way back.
But it's really difficult when you're a linebacker playing the Veer is very tough because you're using up a lot of energy and a lot of your legs trying to stuff a guy like Jackson, who's a big, tough, rugged back, and a strong guy. Like, it's hard to get your legs back and go chase a Jonas Sanker on the edge. I mean, there's a reason why this offense survives to this day. It's a good offense. Mm-hmm. It makes defenses work, and Covenant's got it going on right now.
Yeah, and so that's a great debut for Jonas Sanker and a great debut for Wilson. He played as an eighth grader, but whatever.
Sure.
So you like what you have there. With Christchurch coming in next week, that'll be big for them. If they put two in a row there, then all of a sudden, you could tell this team had a lot of confidence after that first quarter. They felt like, oh, we've got something here. Yeah. And so if they keep that ball rolling, I think, especially at the private school level, it doesn't take that many guys. We're not talking about going up against Oscar Smith, you know, in the beach, where if you don't have 70 guys that are all good,
that's right,
you can't win. At private school Division III level, it doesn't take all too many, and it seems like they have more than enough to get the job done. I mean, how many times have we seen a Division II level with Blue Ridge and St. Anne's? You get a couple reliable guys, and you can go a long, long way.
It looks like, too, we've also got a situation developing where we've got three guys across the board maybe four if you throw it in, that are perfectly suited quarterbacks for what their teams want to do. In John Hemme, who makes all the right reads, Sam Neill for Charlottesville, who makes all the right reads in their option, and you know, these relic offenses, McCray out at wing, you know, running the wing T out at Goochland, yeah. And then Malik Bell and what he does in the single wing for Louisa. Like, there's this, we talked about
right
last
place,
week.
Fine time.
Yeah, we talked about right, like all these quarterbacks that are back. But like part of this too is that they're perfect system fits, and that speaks to the development of the program. That speaks to just sort of that perfect serendipity of finding that right guy at the right time. And I think that, to me, that makes it feel like that we're destined for some special teams this year.
And then that's where you find out who, when it comes to the coaching, these kids are being identified early on,
mm-hmm.
being put in these positions, and it gives the program a huge boost in the arm when, you know, you're able to figure out, hey, maybe you should play him here.
Yeah.
And when you know that, when, you know, kid's a sophomore, kid's a freshman, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And it also allows you to get your best athletes in some other spots. I mean, Hemme allows them to play the Sakers on the edge. You know, Neil allows Kimi Davis to do a little bit of everything over for Charlottesville. So, really fun to see, you know, sort of what these squads are putting together. It's got everybody kind of excited this year. The other big storyline was three big public school teams from last year, Louisa, Albemarle, and Goochland, all picking up wins and doing it in really different ways. That Louisa team that you got to see, that's a good Cortland team that they just took apart.
Yeah, Cortland had four of its five senior starters, or, you know, rising junior senior starters coming back this year. I mean, that's a big deal. They had all their running backs from last year. That was a competitive game last year. Louisa sort of took its foot off the gas a little bit, but considering what they returned, you figured that this was going to be a really tight game. Louisa, I mean, defensively, what they did was just, there was nothing there. There was nothing you could do. I mean, all three phases of the game, defensive line, linebacking core, secondary, there was just nothing there for Cortland. These guys were just flying to the ball. It is weird to see Joe Whalen playing linebacker, you know, to see somebody that good as a running back playing on both sides of the field. But it's also interesting to see how much better that makes that team.
Yeah.
Yeah, Malik
they're
Bell's,
all in this year, man.
Yeah,
they're
Malik
absolutely
Bell's playing in the secondary.
Man, Louise is pushing their chips to the table very
absolutely
clearly.
Absolutely.
And you won't see that. I mean, they knew what kind of team they were playing. And so you probably see that's maybe a playoff version of Louisa that you got a chance to see there. We won't see that all year. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll change up some personnel. They'll have some guys develop. Some things will certainly change. But, man, I mean, that's all in right there.
Yeah, and we didn't even Brandon Smith you see all the headlines and articles that are being written about this kid and all the offers he's gotten. And so you follow him a little more closely than you would in, week one game. It's just a missile. And absolutely how quickly he would make a read and then just boom, he's gone. The linemen don't have a chance to grab him. And he's just got somebody wrapped up. And I can't tell you how many times he started the tackle and it brings the play to a screeching halt. And then it's just a gang of Lions behind him. That's a really good defensive line. Tony Thurston and everybody there.
Tony Thurston gets his big paws on you, you're in a lot of trouble, man. That guy, that's a bear of a human being. He's a big dude.
And then, you know, Devin Jackson McGee is a big boy too. They've just got a lot up front. Robbie Gwynn with a big, big fumble recovery. They forced four turnovers. Louisa just, you expected them to be good. You know, there's a lot of hype coming into this year, and they just sort of blew the doors off on that season opener.
Really kind of opens up what the ceiling is for that squad, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they come in with the bullseye on their back, and now it just gets larger and larger and larger.
No question. Albemarle, on the flip side, well, let's look at Goochland. I mean, a similar result against Thomas Jefferson Richmond, and you know, they did it against a guy who's a Division I back, and they got it done because Jasper Carter was really good. They got it done because their defense is unreal, how good that defense is. I mean, there are so many guys that, you know, they lose a Clay Brooks up front, but they got Ricky Mayfield over there. That guy makes all kinds of stops, takes away half the field. Mayfield is just really tough. They got all these linebackers that are back that have all these tackles, and then a secondary that just picks off balls after balls after balls.
And that secondary lost Cordell Maddox. So, I mean, that's what makes Goochland their win impressive is just the turnover. The roster turnover, it just never seems to matter over there.
Yeah, you just plug in, here's some dudes.
Yeah.
And they're all really good football players. I mean, that's, again, like we talked about earlier, that's about development. That's about, you know, like the kind of work that they're putting in. And, I mean, I just don't know. You know, I mean, it's difficult to throw a lot and actively and consistently at the 2A level for a lot of teams. I don't know how you even try it against Goochland. And I don't know how you run it against them either, because they tackle so soundly and they're just, they fly to the ball. That defense is going to be super fun to watch. It's one of those where you think, you wish Goochland maybe was still in that Jefferson district.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a Goochland-Louisa matchup. I mean, probably like 6 points. Yeah. I mean, that's a 6-3 game.
A game that takes maybe all of 70 minutes to play.
Yeah. I mean, but that's a fun football game if you really think about it. But yeah, super fun to see Goochland. I mean, they're going to be really tough this year. They're going to be a tough out, and you know, they just got to figure out a way to stay away from Appomattox until that final, and they'll be all right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the state of 2A football right now is Appomattox with this unbelievable group of kids that just never seem to age.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely want to avoid them. But
as Buckingham can attest to after last week,
yeah,
and that's a Buckingham team that's going to be pretty good. They ran into an Appomattox team that's just they're back. They're good.
They've got 31 in a row for a reason. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see Goochland if they can get a sort of rematch. Even if it isn't just the Final Four, we'll be happy with that. But Goochland to be able to lose what they did and come back and just put up a big number early on. And we'll see what they do against Fork Union. Their schedule's a little funky. The James River District, it's hard to gauge too much out of some of the games midseason. When Goochland plays Cortland and, you know, after the first quarter, there's nothing going on, it's just hard to pick apart what's going on with that program. You know, it's just how good are they really? Well, they win by the same margin every year against those teams.
Right.
It's just the same thing over and over.
And Goochland gets a chance to take on Fork Union this week. That should be fun to kind of give us a real insight into both teams. I mean, yeah. I think that's just good. That's strength on strength.
Puma's got some athletes.
Yeah.
They got a lot of experience last year.
Great test for Goochland.
Yeah,
no question about it. Third team, got it done in a very different way. Albemarle Patriots pulling it off. Wild finish in that one. And just a lot of fun to see a 12-7, you know, sort of heavyweight fight. After the game, Brent Isaiah told the team, like, I'd play in a game like that every single week. I don't know how he'd survive. I mean, it was the discipline that it took from the coaching staff, the line, everybody to kind of hang with the game plan was pretty incredible. One thing I noticed right off the top was that Mountain View stuck everybody out on the edge. There was no deep safety. And I think they did that in part because Jaquan Anderson wasn't in there. And so it's going to be tough for, you know, DeQuandre Taylor to, you know, test that over the top. Mm-hmm. They don't want to take that risk maybe. And but it was there. It was sitting there. And somehow they resisted that and just stuck to the game plan. We're going to keep running the ball. We're going to keep controlling the clock. And it paid off. I mean, pretty incredible team effort across the board from Albemarle in that one.
Yeah, and it also, you got the sense that nobody really wanted the ball all that much in that one either. But, I mean,
a lot of punts.
Yeah.
A lot of turnovers.
I mean, that's week one football.
Yeah.
That's standard rust for just about everybody. Even in the Louisa game, I mean, listening to the coaches talking about it and even talking to some of the linemen, they're not happy with that performance. And you see the number they put on the scoreboard. So everyone's got a little bit going on in week one where there's some kinks to iron out. But when it comes to Albemarle, they're facing such an uphill battle there without Jaquan, regardless of where they line him up. And that's a huge win. You expect
points.
Yeah, you expect points to play a huge part in that one. And their schedule early on is this Commonwealth District throwback relic of let's go play Colonial Forge and Riverbend and all these guys again, Mountain View. So to see success against them, that means a lot. Now, none of these kids went up against that. It's long enough ago that none of them had to play against those teams on a regular basis. But for Albemarle coaching staff or, you know, people around that program, they know what wins like those mean.
It's a great win. And DeQuandre Taylor, man, what a courageous effort from that kid. Not statistically eye-popping, but he did exactly what they needed to do. And with like 6 minutes left to play, Chris Anderson, who I think we all agree, we got a ton of guys who can cover this year, which is the first time in a while that we've just had a huge amount of guys who can really cover and really play defensive back. And Albemarle's got a few of them. Now Arnold and Chris Anderson are fantastic. Anderson picks off the pass. DeQuandre Taylor walks out there and leads them on this drive. The play that he made to Keyshawn Allen, I mean, that was an incredible look where he just he shimmied past a rusher that came in unblocked, slipped past him, rolled to the right, and hit Allen on the run. Just a tremendous play, tremendous catch, and then another big run to get him down into the red zone. That's a heck of a performance in a first real start for a kid, a first real shot. I mean, it just really impressive, and the defense got him there too. I mean, just a really good defensive effort. So, like you said, big win for Albemarle, big time victory that'll pay off when they're sitting there looking at their playoffs, you know, brackets and how that's shaping out in about 9 weeks.
Yeah, and I think for all three of those teams, it's sort of it's good for football in the area in general when you have the teams that were successful last year come out and set the tone early and say, "Come and get us."
Mm-hmm.
Like we're still here, you know. You're going to have to beat us. I mean, that Albemarle-Louisa game just looms so large. That's going to be early on in the, as far as the schedule goes. I think that's week 5.
Yeah.
That's going to be absolutely awesome. Yeah. So that's good to see week 1. That you know,
it's not like too far ahead, but it's going to be really good.
Yeah. To have the dominant teams be dominant again, like that's what you want.
Super fun. So we also want to dish out a few awards for this week because just some tremendous tremendous performances across the board. Let's start with skill guys of the week and two guys that just stood out. These are versatile, solid athletes, Jonas Sanker over at Covenant and Jasper Carter for Goochland.
Yeah, I mean, Jonas, 3 rushing touchdowns, 2 interceptions, one of which is at the half that he catches one-handed. I mean, pretty incredible, you know, falling backwards to go up and get it. Could have had more, is going to have more. This kid can play. So, I mean, good to see what he was able to do in week 1. And then, yeah, Jasper out of Goochland. We saw flashes of it last year.
Had about a little over 600 yards, but he got off to a fast start against Thomas Jefferson. 156 yards, 3 touchdowns, really good on the ground. They spread the wealth out there at Goochland. So if you're piling up 156, you're earning it and you're getting it. You're not getting it just because you got 25 carries. You're not Ron Danning this thing, man. You're getting it because you're getting it done. You're picking up big yards on every play.
And when it comes to him, when you look at him as a runner, this is a sort of versatile runner, not one-dimensional, just sort of has to hit the edge or, you know, straight downhill runner up the middle. And you know, Goochland always has guys that can do that.
Right.
The
specialist runners, yeah.
So I think that's where you're going to see big numbers from him, is that they can just do so many different things with him because he's, you know, he's a tough kid, strong kid, but he's also really fast.
No question. Road grader of the week, we kind of give it to Jaquel Johnson, man, over there at Albemarle. Jaquel is really a great offensive lineman. We already know what kind of player he is. And the way that they ran the ball like 40 times, 45 times against Mountain View, Albemarle did. And that offensive line, every offensive lineman loves run blocking. No question about it. That's the easier one.
Well, you get to maul somebody.
You get to come off the ball and just come after a guy. And that's the best. But it takes its toll. It wears you down a little bit. And they just hung in it. That offensive line as a whole, tremendous job. They were missing Ricky Zeller. But Jaquel Johnson, he's got to be the road grader of the week for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Good job on them. And you know, big part of that win.
The other guy that we got to talk about, defensive impact guys, Brandon Smith out of Louisa. You mentioned him already. You called him a missile.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be him every week. So, like, I don't think anything's going to change.
Between Brandon Smith, Sefapu'ali out at Fork Union, and another guy that you got to add into that mix as far as those guys who can just change the tone of a game, Marquan Jones at Albemarle, man. He you know, I think I said to somebody right before the game, I said, like, I don't know about the defense. Like, they've got so many pieces they've got to replace. I love the secondary, but the front 7 has just a few pieces that they need. They lost that Cal Foster. Marquan Jones ended a lot of that discussion on the first play. Just flew in, blew up Mountain View's really talented running back, just a really quick guy. And Marquan just laid the wood on him. That guy sets the tone. You know, Brent Isaiah said that he's a physical guy. He likes the confrontation on the field.
And that's a defense that needed it, considering what they lost between Foster and Massey.
Oh, Tayshaun Massey, a scrimmage play favorite, Tayshaun Massey, man. We're big, big Massey fans from last year. And, yeah, that's it. Jones brings that same attitude, that same swagger, and he did it the whole game. I mean, it was a pretty impressive performance. He also made a crazy play that we didn't talk about yet. He comes flying – second half kickoff opens. Guy comes flying down the sideline, Boatwright. Santiago, I think was his name, from Mountain View, comes flying down the sideline, and you're like, oh, man, he's gone. Like, they're about to go up in this one. But here comes Marquan Jones. I didn't even see him. The Boatwright kid is running right past me, and here comes Marquan tripping him up inside the 10. I don't know where he came from. I don't know how he got there on that angle, tremendous angle that he took, and he took him down. That was the play of the game, because then they fumbled it right after that, and that saved that touchdown, saved those points, probably saved that win. Pretty incredible performance by him. So those are two guys that you got to love. Brandon Smith, the missile, flying all over the place, and then you got Marquan Jones really kind of bringing it. So now we get a chance to look ahead.
Yeah, I mean, so I think week two things, I mean, it's your out of conference, out of district schedule. So you don't know really what to expect from the other teams you're playing, whether they're up or down. They keep going on, sort of staying healthy, obviously, these first 5 weeks, just not getting too dinged up. And then for a team like Charlottesville, it's bouncing back. Mm-hmm. For a team like Albemarle, it's okay, now what do we look like?
Tough, by the way, let's stay on Charlottesville for a second. Tough, that's a tough sort of prescription for them when they're playing James Monroe.
Yeah.
Bouncing back against James Monroe is going to be a difficult.
The two schools with the hardest schedule, I thought, in the first 5 weeks were Albemarle and Charlottesville. You look what they're facing early on. If they can get through those, you know, the first 6 weeks, if you're sitting at 3-3, you're happy.
Sure.
You're going to be all right on the other side of it. So, yeah, definitely bouncing back against James Monroe would be huge. They've got the horses to do it.
No question.
EC Glass is a very well-coached team.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Woody's really got things turned around over there. He took over that program. It was 1-9.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, they just missed the playoffs. This year, it looks like they're going to be okay. So losing by one on the road in overtime, you could do a lot worse.
No question.
Not bad for them. But, yeah, I think week two is really just trying to keep whatever momentum you have going. And I like some of the things that Coach Wilson was talking about over at Covenant. A win's a win. Don't get too far ahead of yourself. I mean, I don't think anybody can, after 1 week, be like, oh, we got this.
No. I don't think anybody would. I mean, I think that this is – you've obviously got, you know, some teams that are going to go into this week feeling a lot better about themselves. But – that's the bottom line, is like you're looking at a small sample size right now.
Yeah. Oh, and there's a lot of.
You add one more game to that, you could feel half as good. Yeah, and I think that like when that sort of becomes the recipe, that can be difficult. But if, you know, Guchlin gets another chance to really measure themselves, Nelson gets another chance to measure themselves against Page. You know, I mean, you've got, you know, Madison gets a chance to bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, East Rock, that's going to be a tough matchup for them as well. But overall, these teams have got to like the chance to really get into this groove, really get a sense of who they are, and develop that identity for this year.
Yeah, they talk about it sort of in golf. You can't win or lose the tournament on the first day.
That's right.
And I think that's sort of the same thing for football. The first 2 weeks, like you can go 0-2 and come out of it okay, and you can go 2-0 and have a disastrous season afterwards.
Sure.
It's all entirely within the realm of possibility.
Absolutely. So we're excited jumping into the week two. Appreciate you listening, and come back next week, and we'll be breaking it down again for you.